What's up, Southbrook families? Coming to you again this week. It's Eric Fleming for the Family Podcast. We hope you had a great week, a great weekend. We got Steve Holt here again with us.
For the fams.
There you are, for the fams. Steve will be joining me as we talk through middle school and high school here shortly. But hopefully you had a great week and got to check out all the festivities this past weekend here at Southbrook. A lot of fun going on in the atrium, Steve. Did you get out there and... I don't know. What is that game called? Did you take that mallet and try to reach, hit the bell, right? The power, the,
buddy, what I did do you that call with one-armed.
Oh, of course.
One-armed,
of course,
buddy.
You did.
You get the gym, get swole,
you don't lack in confidence, that's for sure.
Oh, not at all. So, I just dress up as Eeyore.
You know? Right. You were Eeyore all weekend. That was amazing.
It was pretty hot.
On the dance floor. It was great. So if you weren't here this past weekend, Southbrook kicked off their Versus series, and we've grown accustomed to it being a Super Bowl weekend. And so there was a little feel of that in the atrium as we had a bunch of different games and activities out there for kids and families. It was a great weekend seeing all the families out there having fun. And it seemed like it was a great weekend.
Yeah, right? Loved every minute of it.
Absolutely. And so because of that, this past weekend, Epic High School and Middle School didn't meet. The small theater was being used for some things, and generally when Super Bowl weekend happens, even though it wasn't one, we take off that weekend and encourage families to take part in that, all the festivities of that weekend.
Yeah, we're dynamic when you're, you know, wearing an Eeyore suit. All the high school students run from you, and all the middle school students run out.
Yeah. If that is not an indictment on the difference of levels there of high school and middle school, right?
No, exactly.
Absolutely. Don't want to be seen with Eeyore, for sure.
No.
But middle school loves it. That was like...
I feel old because some of them go, why are you dressed as a donkey? Oh my gosh, how do you not know who Eeyore is? It's okay. It's a generational thing. All the parents will understand.
Right, for sure. And so this week, we wanted to take this time on our segment to talk about something that is very important to us and what kind of we're doing here with not only Southbrook students, but kids as well. That is a thing I think would help resource you as parents. It's something that has been super helpful to me. I know it's helped Steve as he's read through it. And if you don't know this, our curriculum that we use comes from an organization called Orange. And Orange creates all this curriculum, but what Orange is incredible with is just resources. And I mean mountains of resources. They've got a book that I'm going to recommend. We're going to kind of touch on some things today with you parents called Don't Miss It. Parent Every Week Like It Counts by Reggie Joyner, who is the one who started Orange, and Kristen Ivey. They wrote this book together. There's a lot of research in it. They did a lot of studies. And what they did is they rolled this out, I believe it was like a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, called The Phases.
It's good stuff.
They've got a website if you wanted to check it out, a store there, or a website called It's Just a Phase. Which kind of helps you understand the different phases your kid, your baby, your kid, your student walks through each year.
Right.
Kind of what they're experiencing, what they're learning, what they're thinking, things you can literally do for each phase. And it's just, I mean, this is a wealth of resources for parents. And so today we kind of want to talk a little bit about that with you because it's just super helpful and kind of a lot of why for the family exists. Some of the things we're wanting to do comes a lot from this. And so again, check that book out. Don't miss it. And I just want to touch on some things from this book that we can maybe discuss as go through this. And as you jump into this book right away, it hits you with some numbers, right? That the average parent has less than 1,000 weeks from the time their kids are born until they move out of the house. 1,000 weeks. So that's ideally, that kid is born to when 18, college, you know, for the most part is what many students go down that route, is the timing of how long you have with them. That's how many weeks.
I'm thinking with McKenna, I had like 75 left.
Maybe. You got like 75 weeks, right?
I think so, yeah.
Right? We're finishing up junior year, right?
Right.
And it's just incredible when you think of this. And they have they do such a great job of just making these, let alone that number jump out to you, but from week to week to the differences from like week one of that phase is she cried all night. And then we go to the difference of week 130, she went to the potty, right?
Yes.
Week 260, she began kindergarten.
Tears.
Week, right?
Tears.
Week 403, she got braces.
Oh my.
Week 478, she shaved her legs. It's incredible. Week 550, she asked for a smartphone. Uh-oh, watch out for that week, right?
Yes.
Watch out for that week. Let's say week 780, she got her driver's learning permit. right? And so they do this whole thing of going from week one all the way through just to get you to just see how different each week can be. And it's unreal when you go through it.
As you read that, I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, okay, mom cried on that one. Dad cried on that one. Right. Mom cried, dad and that, both of them cried on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so their thing is they want to remind us that this is a phase. And with that don't miss it is a big part. Don't miss the phase. And they do this thing where it's like you only get 365 days to know your three-year-old as a three-year-old. And then they will be four. You only get 52 weeks to know your eight-year-old as an eight-year-old, and then they will be nine. You only get 12 months to know your 13-year-old as a 13-year-old, and then they'll be 14. I mean, when they put numbers on it like that, I think it's like, whoa. You never really think of it that way. That just jumps out to you like, wow. Not only is it a phase, but it is quick. And I'm sure you can attest to that.
Oh, you always remember your parents saying that, and then you start saying that like, I'm old. Like, where did life go? The other day I saw a picture of my three kids, and I'm like, they used to be little. Where did that littleness go? Like, you know, my dad used to always say, the bricks fell off their heads. Well, I got one brick left on, maybe half a brick on McKenna. And the rest of them are gone, you know?
Gone, so. Right. And so we're early into it, but yeah. I already see it. And the oldest being nine, mm-hmm. nine, six, and two, that, man, it is fleeting. And when you weren't a part of this, I think it was... Was it 3 years ago or 2 years ago? We took a trip to the Orange Conference to Atlanta.
Okay.
And where they really rolled this out. It was Shane Hively. I remember walking with him. He was still doing middle school. I was in SBK. And they had this display set up that absolutely just cut to the core. Like, I remember him and I, he's not going to probably appreciate this. I remember him and I swear we were standing in front of one display and I think our eyes were watering up. Because it walks you through the crib. They had all these rooms set up, birth, the crib,
yeah.
And they had all these facts up on the wall of things you can do right now at this age, whether that's spiritually, books you're reading over them, prayers to pray over them.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to like a preschool room, things they're wanting to experience and play or
sure.
what their young mind is thinking about. Elementary, there's a room set up for that, mm-hmm. or there's all these books that are typical of elementary kids and what they may be reading and games they may be playing and things they may be thinking and things you can read with them and talk to them about and so on, middle school, high school.
Yeah.
And as we walked here, it was like, man, this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we knew when we were down there, this is something we want to try to start implementing in our areas. They had this display called the Jar of Marbles. All right. And so what they're big on is if you could create a visible countdown clock for your family, essentially. Another powerful thing to say, hey, start with 936 marbles. You say, why 936? Because that is the estimated number of weeks between birth and high school graduation, right?
Right.
So you put them all into that jar to represent the weeks you have with each kid. So obviously each kid is different wherever they are, my 9-year-old, my 6-year-old, my 2-year-old.
Right.
And then you start removing a marble after each week. And so it gets you to visualize, man, could you imagine? Like, we haven't done this yet. We've been meaning to, and I keep forgetting because that's kind of how I am, of having those for Braden, Addison, and Carter sitting on a shelf, and you see those as each year passes, each week passes, you start removing those and saying, man, it helps you visualize really the little amount of time you do have to impress upon them.
Right.
Right? It's just powerful. And so, I don't know. Parents, there was an app, and it's not updated. It's a bummer. They had an app created called Legacy, which you could put your kid's birth date in, and it did it for you, like on your phone.
Right.
But with the latest iOS, it's not updated yet. So I went into it today to check out because I have all my kids on that.
Right.
But it doesn't pull up right now
because
it's not updated. But yeah, just an incredible visual.
You know, and just to go a little more into detail about that, you know, there's times I'll counsel with some parents and a teenager. You know. Teenager got in trouble, did something wrong, and you know, these have been just beneficial. Like last night, I was talking to some parents, suggested the 10th grade book. I met with them last night. The first thing they said was like, okay, we're failing. I'm like, well, no, you're not failing. Well, yeah, we haven't done hardly anything for 10th grade. They said, well, don't look at it that way. Look at it as a hey, this is going to help you going forward. Because the good thing is you got 11th grade and you got 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And they were just blown away by just the knowledge in this small. I mean, they're not huge. You could probably read them in a day.
Yeah, short reads.
Less than that. Just so you know what it is that your student needs at that given grade.
Right, that phase.
So it's amazing the way they thought of that.
That phase there. And what right. Steve's referring to is, so with this, again, it's justaphase.com. What it is they laid out these books.
Right, didn't say that.
For parenting. It starts off with, it says like parenting your toddler or parenting your sixth grader or seventh. Like they have individual books for each phase mm-hmm. that they're going through. Things to think about, to consider. And we're going to touch on those in a little bit here just to give you an idea so you can get a taste of it. Because I think when you hear some of the research they put into this and some of the things for each phase, you'll be like, wow, that is something I want to check out. Because really, I would recommend everyone who listens to this to go load up on this curriculum.
Like, can we just make a disclaimer here? Yeah. We are not getting a kickback for this. This is nothing of us.
I wish I thought of it. Right?
The only kickback we're getting is the benefit of knowing that some of my parents are going to go through this, and it's just going to make you guys better parents.
And that's the whole reason this exists, is to help partner with you better at home. And I know a lot of times for us as parents, there's hardly enough time in the day to get to work, to prepare meals, to get to games, to run our kids everywhere, let alone sit down and think about, man, this phase that our kid is in right now, how do I better like approach my sixth grader or an eighth grader? How do I have conversation? I mean, we understand there's time involved, but man, there is nothing more valuable and priceless than leveraging this time with your kids and investing into them. Again, if you want your child to grow up with a healthy sense of like worth, direction, perspective, belonging, significance, connection, man, you really need to be intentional about what you do over time with them, right? You need to do. So it's really built on it's a sense of over time with them, spending time with them. Kids don't experience worth because they are shown affection once, but by unconditional love over time. Kids are not motivated to change their lifestyle by one phrase, but when they hear consistent words over time. Kids don't understand the world through a single event, but through a collection of stories over time. Kids don't know they belong because of a special invitation, but by feeling welcomed in a tribe over time. Mm-hmm. Kids don't find significance through accomplishing a task, but by doing meaningful work over time. I mean, the key is here is there's wealth of time that it's not just one instance. It's like, hey, this is going to take some time, but man, it's going to pay off in the long run. I wholeheartedly believe.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's so many like great things to consider. I mean, again, read this book. This book is Don't Miss It by Kristen Ivey and Reggie Joyner. Check it out. It is a short read, and every moment of this book is highlightable. I mean, there's such great stuff in there. And so like they point us to what we said earlier, the phase guides. So these phase guides that they created that you can get on their website and check them out. It's called justaphase.com. And again, they've created them for each phase. And so I'm obviously middle school. And so I have these guides for middle schoolers, and it's broken up by sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And so for example, if I was to open up this guide, and I'll read some of this off to you as you're listening, It lets you know what the sixth grader is thinking, that they think like an engineer. You help them learn when you connect the dots. They like to see how things work. And that's all, that thinking like an engineer is sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. In this guide, they'll say things like, no phase has less consistency. Your sixth grader may still want to sleep with their stuffed animal and also their new cell phone. Right. They may appear sloppy and unkempt in one moment and preppy and overdressed the next. They may be silly, sad, mean, or affectionate. That's what makes every day a new opportunity to discover who this growing person is now. There will be tears, both yours and theirs. We know that. Doors will slam, drama will happen, but amid all the ups and downs, now is the time to lean in ever more closely. This is full of stuff. It has like markers in here to say things like, can we pray about this together? How can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you this week? God made you. He knows you and he loves you. The way you live can show others who Jesus is. There's so many great things. They throw some verses in there. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made to impress upon them. They give you an idea of morning time and drive time and meal time and bedtime, which we talk about on a weekly basis here. Like in the morning time, instill purpose when you start the day with encouraging words. Drive time, interpret life during informal conversations as you travel. Meal time, establish values with intentional conversations while you eat together. Bedtime, listen to their heart by staying available, just in case. And there's all kinds of stuff. Like your sixth grader is changing, it says. Physically, it needs a lot of food and 9 to 11 hours of sleep each night. Girls begin outpacing guys in development. Mentally, enjoys learning new skills and being challenged. And there's other things there. Socially, seeks peer approval and conformity. Emotionally, often masks emotions in order to fit in. I mean, there's a wealth of stuff that goes along with each one. And then you can go into seventh grade and the same thing. There's things there that may be similar to sixth grade, but things that are changing. Right, it'll say, now you're embarrassing. That's what it says for the seventh grade. Now you're right. Embarrassing, right?
Mom,
parents, we know
mom,
this, right?
Just down the street, it's fine. I'll walk the rest
of the way. It's so great. Yeah, it's awesome when that happens, right? Yeah. Figuring out the new rules for your social behavior can be intimidating. When is it acceptable to walk over and say hello? Why do all your comments elicit an eye roll? Man, I'm getting that already from a fourth grader. Don't be caught off guard. You're transitioning to parenting and adolescent. This may be an awkward phase for you. And so just like the last one, they walk you through some of the things mentally going on. Mentally, able to see two sides of an argument. Enjoys forming and sharing their opinion. Socially, often characterized as happy, silly, and loud. Interested in pop culture and new slang. Emotionally, enjoys silly and sometimes crude humor. Benefits from talking about what they are feeling and why. And again, it gives you some very practical things that you can do with your seventh grader. I'll read some of the eighth grade ones too. Eighth grade, give options whenever possible, it says. Remember when you had a two-year-old who wanted to do it myself, right? I've got a two-year-old that's like that right now. Mm-hmm. Your teenager's resistance may not come in the form of a toddler tantrum, but the emotions may feel familiar. Whenever possible, give options so they have some freedom to choose. And just like this, it walks them through kind of what's going on in an eighth grade mind. And again, this is generalities. We know that. But like your eighth grader emotionally enjoys sarcasm and sophisticated jokes. I mean, I'm a 38-year-old, and I enjoy that a little mm-hmm. bit. Yeah, socially often interested, in pop culture, wants to negotiate rules, displays an increasingly adult-like personality, mentally capable of self-evaluation, things like that. I mean, there's so much stuff in these guides that I think could really help you as parents, because I wholeheartedly believe, man, when you understand kind of the neurological changes these kids are going through, it helps you as a parent. It also helps you to talk with them about these things, because as a student, we want students to understand
right.
what they're going through as well.
Right.
And you have some of the guides too with high school. Yeah. Do you want to share some of that?
The deal is that these booklets and these phase books just kind of break it down and gets bite-sized chunks where you kind of understand. You know, like you and I were talking, parenting is like being on the beach. And you have your toddler, and the first thing you're doing, you're like, okie dokie, close to water. Okay, stay with water. And then they get a little older, and then become middle schoolers, and they're like, hey, could you swim back in further? You're going way too far out. And you're not really holding their hand, but they're getting a little further out. We got to be there for them. And then in high school, they're kind of swimming on their own. And you don't have to just watch them as much, but you just kind of every once in a while check in to make sure they're okay. And they haven't been, caught in a rip current or something like that, and you have to go rescue them, which sometimes they do get caught in rip currents, and you got to go rescue them. That's just a matter of being a high school student, unfortunately. So, but yeah, these booklets, they break it down into bite-sized pieces where you can understand what your high school student is going through. So your ninth grade, it says that, this is the phase when friendships shift, grades count, interests change, and so often your teenager has to explain, this is me now. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking to my daughter and my boys, I'm thinking, yep, that's when that happened. Yeah. And in 10th grade year, it talks about how nobody else has to do that. And you have this resolute teen, all right, and that will push you to answer, why not? Why not?
Right.
Why not? Why not? They're questioning everything, they have this sense of new independence when they become teenagers. Ninth grade, they're kind of like, all of a sudden they're the small fish in the big pond,
right?
And then 10th grade, they're like, oh, this is okay. I think I can handle this. And they get some fresh skepticism when they get in 10th grade. And it feels like you're fighting for their heart. And we just, hey, in 10th grade, keep fighting for their heart, because they need people there to fight for them, right. 11th grade, which is kind of where we are right now with my daughter.
We'll see if this is accurate.
We'll see if it's accurate. All right. The phase when there's less drama. Agreed, but she's a female. And she loves the drama. Sorry, McKenna.
Sorry, I love you, listeners.
But there's drama. She's going to hate me forever for
not
this.
Not all of you guys.
There's more stress, and I can guarantee you that I don't need more stress, and your very busy teenager answers all your questions with, just trust me, which is totally my daughter, and totally stressed out.
I know what I'm doing.
And totally busy.
I know what I'm doing. Just trust me.
Just trust me, Mom and Dad. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. Okay. when you're thinking to yourself, do I trust her? Well, yeah, I have to. And then, you know, and she messes up, I...
She's pretty trustworthy, too. She's pretty trustworthy. You know, my daughter's trust, right?
She's, our kids are very trustworthy.
Okay.
So, that I'm the dad of the year award in here, your parents of the year, but they, you know, that's where she is. Trust me.
Yeah, trust me.
Trust me. I can get there.
Trust me. That's where she is.
Yeah, that's where she is. And then
you're coming up to here.
Yeah, we're coming up to 12th grade year, so which being a high school pastor for as long as I have been working with teenagers, this just is the epitome of 12th grader. Hmm. And those of you that have a 12th grader, this is what you're feeling. This is the phase when your emerging adult, I did say that, emerging adult starts to pull away from you. They, it gets closer at the same time, does things for the last time, and then both of you start asking what's next. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get that that pulling away. Then they pull away from not just parents. They pull away from school, too. It's that thing called senioritis. Mm-hmm.
Ready to take that next step, for sure.
Ready to take that next step, yeah. So these books, again... I know it sounds like this is an infomercial for them. You know what I mean?
Maybe we should call the company.
They're just great. I sitting down with this these parents of this 10th grader yesterday, they were just blown away. They could not wait to continue to dig in to what this book had to offer, because it just kind of, I mean, there are six things that you got to give a 10th grader, you know, to help them get through this stage. Right.
If there's, and I think that's, I mean, I could, for me, I don't mind that we're pushing this, because, like, for I think many parents, and me included, mm-hmm. we don't know where to start with some of this stuff.
Right.
And so to be able to give things that we see that is super helpful, and again, I think the learning, the neuroscience of what's going on in our kids changes the game, I think.
Right.
That doesn't mean things are going to go swimmingly. It just means we're better prepared on how to parent and learn what's going on in their bodies and the things that are changing, as well as when they discover that and learn that as well, they could also help with some of those changes that they're dealing with.
Because a lot of times the parents, you're sitting there going, if I could just change that. And then you start reading, you're like, oh, I can't change that, because that's just part of the process.
And it's just a phase, right? Like they say. Right, man, and they're going to be on to a new one here by next year. And so,
Nine times out of 10, you're going to think back and go, I wish they were back at that phase.
Right. And that's why the book says don't miss it. It's just a phase, so don't miss it. Lean into that phase. Learn about that phase. Be equipped the best you can to have discussions in that phase. Because with every phase, no matter how well you think you know your child, right, the changes will force you to relearn some parenting skills,
right?
Parenting a preschooler takes different skills than parenting a middle schooler, right? And so on and so forth. And so these are just some great things that we've discovered, that we've heard from others as well, that they've enjoyed. Check them out. Check out Don't Miss It, Parent Like Every Week Matters, because it does. Reggie Joyner, Kristen Ivey wrote that. Check out justaphase.com. That's where you can get some books there for parenting your sixth grader, your seventh grader, your ninth grader. Every individual phase, there's a book for. And then they have guides that show you kind of just, again, I know it sounds like a generality. They might not hit for all of them, but there's some studies there. So this is generally what the mass populace is for that area, right?
Yep.
And so that's what we wanted to bring to you today. I hope that's helpful. Check that out. I guarantee you will learn something from that. Steve, you have anything you'd like
just
to
add? Justaphase.com.
Justaphase.com.
Yep, that's it.
And we're back to programming this weekend, Saturday. Yep. We've got middle school, 5:30, 6:30, and high school Sunday night, right?
What are you finishing up?
I'm finishing up my 5-week deep series. We finished that one up this week. I think you finish up mine this week?
Mine this week.
Your 5-week mine series.
On to the next one.
And then we move on to social media. So we're going to have a lot of good stuff in our podcast coming for you, just with resources and discussions on that, social media and gaming and just tech all around.
Right.
So thanks for tuning in. Hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions, again, we have the Facebook page for the family. Go there. Check it out. Post questions. We'll post some more of this there. You can also see we'll push out when a new podcast is up. And you have all the outlets you can listen to there as well. Links to Spotify, iTunes, all of those things. Get on there. Like the page. Follow it so you can get updates as well. Thank you, parents, for tuning in this week. Hopefully, we'll see you this weekend. And enjoy the warmer temperatures for sure.
See you, fams.
All right, now we're going to turn our attention to SB Kids. We're going to focus on 3rd through 5th now. I know we talked about how K through fifth talks on the same thing almost every week. And when that's the case, we'll do that segment together. But last week was a different week. Each room did something different. And so we're going to have the third through fifth focus this week, a segment on them. And I'm super excited about this one because we're bringing a volunteer in to talk with us. Her name is Katie Parks. How are we doing, Katie Parks?
We are doing awesome. How are you today?
I am good. I'm super excited about this because this is what it's all about. If you don't know, man, our K through second space, our third through fifth space is, I mean, the volunteers are what make it happen. Every week, every segment, there's a different volunteer teaching and leading on the stage, and it is awesome. And if your kids love that space, it is, chances are it's because a volunteer was leading. And so I am pumped to have Katie here, and Katie's been serving in that area, and she taught in there this past weekend, so we're going to hear from her. But I want everyone to get to kind of know Katie. Let's get to know you, Katie. All right, how long, well, Katie, give us, well, tell us about your family first. Let's do that first. You married, you got kids, what's going on?
Sure, in life, absolutely, right? I am luckily married to a wonderful guy named Matt Parks. Matt. So
hey Matt, that's a wonderful,
he puts up with me. So we have
all our spouses different the same way.
No joke. All right. So we have three awesome kids. Yep. So we have Camden, who is 10 years old, and she is in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. So she is one of our lucky students and in K through fifth.
She gets to see mom lead.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
She gives me a full report after every one. Okay, mom, you could have done this better. Right.
Which could be good or like, yeah, that's kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I'll take the feedback. Right. Any feedback
is good.
Our kids
are a great mirror, right? For sure. Right.
And then we have two more. So we have Mackenzie, who is our little lightning bolt, and she is going on three. It's hard to believe. She'll be three here soon. And then we have little Luke, who's our sweet, sweet little boy, and he is 8 months now.
8 months.
So, yes.
You got an active household right now.
We do.
That's great.
Yes, we have a fun little dog named Zoe, and she keeps us all straight.
That's awesome. Yeah, we love the Parks crew. So much for us. And why don't you let everybody know? So, you know, you taught this past week. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been a part of SP Kids and serving? How far back does that go for you?
Sure. So my husband actually introduced me to Southbrook.
Great.
So I started to go here with him, and I just fell in love with it from the beginning.
How long ago was that?
That was 6+ years ago. It's hard to believe. Time flies.
Yeah.
And with SB Kids, I immediately wanted to volunteer. Mm-hmm. I had volunteered in a children's ministry prior to Southbrook and wanted to jump back in 2 feet. So that's been about 5 to 6 years. It was almost right concurrently with when we started here as a couple. So.
That's really cool. Was it always in upper elementary? Did you start off in another space? Was it with elementary kids? Or I know everybody kind of moves around in there at some times. Maybe they come in with the twos and they love the twos, but then they move on. Or they didn't like the twos. They're like, can we go?
They had their fill.
Right.
Ready for a new challenge.
Right.
So yes, we started actually serving my husband and I together.
That's great.
Ones and crawlers and infants and the little guys. And then that's fantastic. Had a couple of our own and said, I think we're ready for a change. So I had worked with elementary school kids in my past and I was excited to kind of try that age group again, the third through fifth. You can joke around with them a little more
and get
some feedback in my weekly report card.
Interaction, a little bit more dialogue for sure.
Yes. So I was excited to join that team as well.
Absolutely. So you're now teaching. You know, if there's someone out there listening, maybe there's someone listening right now and they're like, man, that, you know, maybe I didn't know volunteers could teach in those rooms.
Sure.
When did you start doing that? How did that come about? Like, has that been recent? When did you start like getting on the stage and teaching? Like, is it all weekend? Like, how does that typically go in third through fifth?
So it's a full-time job. I'm just kidding. Not at all. In the time when our two little ones came into the world and we decided that, you know, it would be neat to do something a little bit different within a different age group. Mm-hmm. I just reached out to Debbie and I said,
Dennison.
Hey,
what
else do you have as far as options? And she was kind enough to just kind of sit with me and have coffee. And we just went through what those options were in SB Kids. And she recommended hosting and what that involved. Mm-hmm. And I won't lie. I was a little nervous at first.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh gosh, what do I have to do? But no, it's great. Carrie does an awesome job. of preparing us every week. And we really sign up for our hosting volunteer time when it fits our schedule. So a lot of times I just do once a week or once every other week. And then when I can, or if I need to, if I feel the need to, I will volunteer a couple times in a week. And it's just, it's really based on my schedule.
Super flexible.
That's what's so awesome about
That's great. Man, you brought up some great points. And so if you're listening, Debbie Dennison is another staffer here at Southbrook who coordinates volunteers. She's kind of that first line of communication that maybe you talk to if maybe you want to put your life into play like Charlie talks about and serve. She has all the different options. And so like Katie shared, third through fifth, one of the options there is hosting is what it's called, but really you're teaching, you're carrying that time. And like she said, she does it once a week right now. So that's typically like, you know, we have three services on a weekend. That's how cool that room is and the volunteers we have. Somebody is in at 5:30, then at 9:30 and 11:30. And it's really cool because it's like different voices doing the same content, which I think's incredible. There's times where my son may be here all weekend, but he gets to hear three different voices of the same message. And so it's just great, man. My son loves it. He loves hearing from Miss Katie Parks, Wilson, Ray, John, whoever else is in there, Erica, Carrie. I mean, it's just it's a really cool team. And so blessed to have you. So if there's anyone out there considering that, like, man, I'd like to teach, I'd like to be a part of those teams, man, reach out to Debbie, reach out to Carrie, who's third through fifth, maybe Michelle with K through second, if you want to be in the younger group. It's just a great way to jump in and just be a part of all that is going on here for sure. And so, Katie, what we do here, and you know this, you've listened, that we share kind of what went on last weekend. So that was you. You got to speak last weekend. So what did our kiddos learn last week? What did we talk about last week with them?
All right. Well, great. So last week was a lot of fun with the Super Bowl and the launch of the Versus series with Southbrook Main Church. We kind of piggybacked on that last week. So we talked a lot about that we're all on God's team.
That's great.
And what was really cool about that is that we started out the day with some games back and forth, you know, winner and a loser. What do you like about football? You know, really linked it to that. And then we followed that up with, well, what's really cool about our faith and being on God's team is that he gives us victory and that we are always victorious with him.
Absolutely.
And that's so powerful.
Right. It's already been done. It's already been won, right? There's nothing you have to do, right?
Exactly.
That's great.
And I think that's kind of too where part of what my heart leads me to in serving is that when I was growing up in a church, and I actually was raised Catholic, is that there's a lot of guilt in that and some fear. And so I would go to church almost scared sometimes, not what will happen or anything, but just like, oh gosh, am I doing everything right?
Right.
And what is so cool about our conversation last week and kind of that perpetuating theme throughout what we talk about in third through fifth is that with God's power and when we become part of God and part of Jesus and have the Holy Spirit within us, we don't have to be afraid anymore. It actually releases that pressure.
That's great.
You take that away.
Absolutely.
And that is so cool. And even my 10-year-old, I would say later that afternoon, we kind of talked about baptism and things like that. And she was, you know, I'm interested. That's neat. But then I have to be perfect. Then I have to be this. And I was like, no. That's actually the best part.
Right.
Cam, it releases that pressure. You don't have to feel like, oh gosh, I have to be perfect.
I have to measure up.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So that was really, really cool to even have that conversation with her afterwards.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of what we talked about, is that God gives us that victory. And in order to do that, we just have to put God first in our lives.
Absolutely. That's great, right? The verse of, while we were still sinners, Jesus died. It didn't say when at a time when we measured up and lived up to perfection, he died. It was while we were still sinners. We are sinners. We live with this reality, but that in Christ, it's done. It's victorious. He's already died. He's already defeated the grave, and we have that reassurance in him. And so that's a great perspective you bring from your background of, like, you know, growing up with God, like this large fist looking out to crush you, like,
right?
This sense of,
like, oh, no.
What do I do, right? And when you shift and realize, no, that's not what scripture shows. That's not how it is. Like, that's a freeing, I mean, I can't imagine that walking away from that background into this new reality of just like this weight off the chest. And so that is really cool that our kids are already hearing about that, because it's so true. Right? You know, that's a great discussion with Camden. Man, if kids can learn that from a young age, that God is for them, God loves them, God created them, they have an immense worth. Man, there's nothing they have to measure up to but put Jesus first in their life. Because when they truly do that and they learn what that looks like, man, everything flows from that. This freedom, this sense of my identity and everything is placed in that. And so that's incredible. Is there anything else? What else with this?
Sure.
I love that. Sure.
Well, right?
That's
great.
That's awesome.
Yes, there is. There's a little bit more to that. So when we talk about something kind of, you know, high level or ethereal like that, sometimes it can be hard to say, well, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. What are those steps?
Yeah.
How do I live like Jesus?
Absolutely.
And so we talked about examples. You know, it's kind of bouncing off of like what we talked about last month with self-control.
And
maybe that means doing things sometimes that I don't want to do. Mm. So we talk about examples, helping mom with chores, helping somebody at school.
Very who looks practical. Like,
those practical steps. So we try and take these big lofty ideas about putting God first and, you know, being victorious through God and put those into actionable steps that these kids can take. Right. Because without those actionable steps, you know, just like you or I, I need to go to the gym, you know, 5 hours a week and I need to start right now and I'm just going to have to figure it out. Well, if we take small actionable steps and we worry about the process, then we can truly make that progress.
That's great.
So I think
great stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's a great new book out there, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah, it's a great book.
And it's very, very similar to kind of that concept. And so I recommend if anyone's a bookworm, pick that one up.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But back to what we were talking about with the kids is, you know, when we put God first, we don't have to worry about, oh gosh, what am I supposed to do or what am I supposed to say? Because when we make those subtle changes to put God first and know that we have His power within us, then He gives us those words to say. Mm-hmm. He gives us the actions to take. So if there's a new kid at school and he's sitting by himself in the lunchroom, well, maybe I can go sit next to him.
For sure.
You know, that type of thing.
For sure.
I am a huge proponent of, okay, well, tell me about the how, because
absolutely.
How do I make this happen? And so I try and do that with the kids too and make them give us those examples of how they would implement this.
And that's a big deal. That's a big deal because, you know, especially with that third through fifth, a lot of them are thinking that they're going to be coming to middle school soon where they want to know how things work. Like literally, like, you know, my son, one of the big things we just talked about with Steve was the phases and like learning how each grade, like what they're thinking, what they're feeling, the changes that are going on within them. One of the big things around that preteen age, at fourth and fifth, is they become almost engineer-like. How do things work? So with that, you know, when we talk of God and Jesus, it seems like this distant thing, but it's not. It's just getting them to understand what's that look like when we put Jesus first in our life, with our conversations, on our teams, in our classrooms, in the hallways, in the lunchroom, at home, in our neighborhoods. And so I think that's great how you walk them through that, because they very much need that and they crave that. And so parents, if you're listening, that's a big thing. Like when you talk to your kiddos about Jesus, it's great. It's awesome. But try to bring it down to some practical. What's that look like? Mm-hmm. Their habits. And again, like we talked about, what are they doing on a daily basis to kind of live in that reality, right? And so that's good stuff, man. Thank you, Katie Parks. Anything else with that you want to add? Anything you got?
Well, we also did a quick little baptism shout out at the end too.
Yeah, so, right. We had some kiddos.
If this is something that you want to really pursue and you're ready to accept, you know, Jesus into your heart and ready to take those next steps, you know, stay tuned and just feel free to talk to one of us or ask one of us. And
absolutely.
I will say the curriculum in third through fifth, they do a really, really great job of linking that all of this back to actionable things. So whether it's self-control whether it's helping others or whether it's, you know, putting family first and things like that. Right. We do a really good job of linking that back to those baby steps.
So. That's great stuff. And if you're listening, that's great. A little invitational there at the end. So if anyone, at any time you're ever considering baptism, man, reach out to Southbrook, the whole staff, even volunteers that are in those rooms will be willing to have discussions But again, that's a great time to talk about that for a little bit. If that's something you're interested in, man, it can be any service. If that's something you're interested in up in front, or it can be a private, it can be a private service. You don't have to go in front of the whole crowd and get baptized. I know some people don't like the thought of that. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a private ceremony. So if that's ever something you're interested in, man, reach out to the staffers here at Southbrook, man, we definitely want to be a part of that and get that going. So Katie Parks.
Awesome.
You crushed it, man. It's home run.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Did you enjoy
my gosh.
It? Yeah, we're going to have you back for sure. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so, again, if you're just checking this out, man, Katie Parks is a volunteer in 3rd through 5th who comes and teaches and impresses upon our kiddos. Our kiddos love it. She does a great job. And so we want you guys to have the availability to listen and hear from, man, our volunteers and students mm-hmm. at times. We want to bring students in middle school and high school, and you can hear from them as well. So thanks again, Katie.
Of course. I have a quick parent shout out.
Yeah, give a parent shout out.
The app, the Parent Q app,
yeah.
Definitely recommend that one.
That's great.
It's awesome.
That's
you put in your kids' names and ages, and it gives you just customized little things you can talk about. And so if you're not sure where to start as a parent, that's a great place to start.
And it syncs up. It syncs up with our curriculum and each week or what we're talking on. So, yeah, good job there. Good shout out. Now let's transition to K through 2nd. And we've got my dear Go Blue partner here, Michelle Cornish. What's up? Rocking that shirt. That's a great looking shirt, by the way.
Thanks. Got that in Ann Arbor last week.
Yeah.
I was absent from this podcast last week.
Yeah. What were you doing? What did you see up there?
Well, my husband got me these tickets to the Michigan-Ohio State basketball
game. How did that game go?
That ended fantastically for the Wolverines fans.
Everyone right now is turned off the podcast. Yeah,
despite the -30 temperatures that were taking place.
Yeah, that was a brutal trip about
it
for
was.
Sure.
It was very cold. But car started when it was time to come home. So
that's all that matters. And it was a great victory. Sorry, Buckeye fans.
I'm not sorry at all.
I mean, we got to enjoy our victories once in a while. Exactly. We don't have many of them anymore against that school, unfortunately.
Basketball season is our saving grace.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're going to talk about K through 2nd because we want to share some, you know, this past weekend, it was special there as well. And I want Michelle to share with you because it's really cool. Kind of, again, what's going on in there. And again, it's another story of a volunteer who has brought their gifts and abilities to K through 2nd. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Michelle. What went on? Again, we know it was like a different weekend here at Southbrook. Atrium was full of fun and activities as we kicked off the Versus series in the big room. And so Katie Parks just shared how 3rd through 5th had a little bit of that football-focused kind of verbiage and games going on in there. What was going on in K through 2nd?
Very similar as far as what it was focused on. It's no secret that competition is kind of, you know, a topic around here.
Absolutely. We love it, right?
Yeah, from Charlie, from the main stage, from wherever, obviously with us.
Right, for sure.
But it was themed around, you know, it being Super Bowl weekend and everything. And so we kind of focus on the whole we're all on God's team as the subject.
That's great.
And that was actually basically, that was the main point. So if you ask your kids, hey, what was the main point, the bottom line, something like that, it's we are all on God's team and we are stronger when we build each other up.
Oh, that's so good.
So, yeah.
Much needed.
One of our very awesome regular volunteers, his name is Russell Burt, and he is one of the funniest, goofiest, easygoing guys you're ever going to meet. I'm sure you've seen him as you're dropping off your kids. He's always right there to greet them at the door. He knows, you know, most of them by name. It's awesome.
My Addison loves them for sure, yes.
So he has just a really great ability and really great talents to change his voice and be really, you know,
animated for sure.
Animated, charismatic. He not only can he do that, but he also has created cartoons as little clips, full-length videos that, the one that took place this weekend was 20 minutes long.
That was like the kind of the teaching content, wasn't
absolutely.
That video, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So his character is Rowdy Rorge. It is a St. Bernard dog, yes.
It's really funny when Rowdy Rorge follows you on Instagram.
Yes,
I was like, Rowdy Rorge, he's following me. I've arrived now.
He follows you, and you can follow him,
right,
too.
Right.
So he is the cutest little St. Bernard dog you're going to see in the cartoon world. And he loves Jesus, so it's great. He's a great teaching element for the class, and he had some of his friends who were playing in the Super Bone, is what it was called. And Russell voices all the characters. He creates all the whimsical names. Colin Fowl, which is a bird. Fowl,
nice,
get
nice.
It? I mean,
got
all
it.
These
got
fun
it.
Little
nailed
whimsical
it.
Things that I think are probably even over the heads of little kids, but I know that the volunteers in the room are like, I love those little bits and pieces here and there. So
that's cool.
So yeah, so Rowdy got hurt this week and thought, oh no, my team's going to lose without me because I am the team.
Right.
And his friend was quick to tell him, like, no, we all play a part on a team and we do this together.
Look at this. This is great.
So yeah, it was a really, really awesome lesson. It tied in Proverbs 27:17, which is as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Great.
Which, yeah, is all about teamwork and that everyone plays their part. And it has funny little whimsical songs in it.
Think
Weird Al Yankovic. So the song Happier by Marshmallow was redone by Russell in multiple voices. He duetted with himself.
He's incredible.
Yes. So he's saying that the song was called Scrappier, and it talks, he rewrites the whole thing. It's amazing. Yeah. And it just, it brings a smile to my face. It brings a smile to all the kids' faces.
For sure.
It was really great. When he sent it to me ahead of time and was looking at it, my daughter was watching it, who is 8, and my dog was sitting right next to her watching it, too, and I had to take a picture and send it to him. I was like, yeah, my 1-year-old puppy Great Dane was watching Rowdy Roar. Yeah, so I had to take a picture and send it to Russell and be like, you are touching so many lives. And it's true.
That's amazing.
So yeah, so he's amazing. He did this all on his own time. Not only that, but in the video, Rowdy Roar plays the claw game, you know, the arcade claw game that you can spend umpteen quarters trying to
get that stuffed animal.
Yes, and so little footballs were in there, and if your kindergarten first or second grader came home with a little mini football, that's because Russell brought those in, shared them with the class. Because not only has he done this, but he actually has Rowdy Warge as a puppet, like a really
legit looking.
Absolutely. So if you peeked into the room when you were dropping off or picking up your kids and you saw on the stage that there were these big black curtains kind of up there, that's because he was there. He was there as Rowdy Warge talking to the kids. So he talks, in person with them and then shoots it to the video and back again.
Gosh.
And it's so cool. It's absolutely awesome. This is the second time he's done it. He did it back in October for the first time. And the kids just loved it. They eat it up. And absolutely. I just told him, I'm forever grateful for his many talents there. And I'm always like thinking ahead, like, what's the next thing that we can do with him?
It's, oh my gosh.
So maybe it'll be having him come in here. Maybe we can get him to come and talk
absolutely.
With you. And
I would love to.
We'll get him on here and share some of his,
for sure.
His insight.
Like, man, it is, that is incredible. So he did that. All services, right? He was here.
Yeah.
Was he here all weekend?
All three services. And when he did it back in October, he did it all three services as well.
And I'm just saying, like, again, parents, your kids love these areas. And that's almost always a credit to the volunteers that are leading in there. Man, if you ever just have time just to pat them on the back, show them that you appreciate them. Because, man, it goes a long way. I mean, he brought his own, like, curtains and setup. Right, like he set that all up. He did the puppet. He had the video. Absolutely. The kids are engaged the entire time on the message, because that's a big part of it. Especially when you get to those younger ages of K through second. Not only do we have a message, but we want to make sure we keep them engaged through that entire time, because like I always jokingly say, they have the attention span of a gnat. Right, at that younger age, they're like all over the place, and trying to keep them engaged is half the battle in what we do. And our K through our second team does such a great job of just keeping them engaged, changing it up from teaching to video, bringing it back to teaching to activities. And you know, Michelle lays that all out and does a great job with that. And then they take it and carry it each weekend. So it's just another testament to what the volunteers, how they're the backbone of what we do around here. And so, if you ever see Russell, man, just give a shout out to Rowdy Roarage, because, man, that was an amazing weekend from start to finish. That was all a lot of what he was doing in his video. So.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right, cool. And we're back to normal this week. You guys probably start off in, I think, a new series and stuff.
Yeah, we have a new series all about serving. Service
all about
and serving others. Yeah, cool. So that's all a good one.
Great.
Tune in.
Well, cool. Well, all right. Well, thanks, Michelle. Is there anything else you want to add?
Go Blue.
That's
always,
a great one.
Always and forever.
Love it.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
See you next week.